What do you do when your patience is being pushed to the breaking point?
As parents, we want to know how to take our family to the next level.
Where our children choose into excellence.
Where poor behaviors melt away naturally.
And where our connection to each other is rich and beautiful.
We are Kent and Amy Bowler, and our purpose is to help you achieve just that.
This is where joy lives.
Welcome to Revolutionary Families. Fortunately for me, I was blessed with perfect patience.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's not something I really struggle with. Lies. All lies. I'm blessed with perfect patience until it comes to my tools and other things. So one of the things that gets me, oh my goodness, is I go to do a project around the house, and I go to find my tool and use my tool for that project, and I can't find my tool. It's not where it belongs. It's not where it's supposed to be. But then it even gets better. So one time I was out in the backyard and I found my miter saw on the edge of the lawn being sprinkled on by the sprinklers. And it had been out there for a couple of days from the last time that a son had borrowed it to use it for a project.
So that's when you get pushed to the breaking point.
That's when I get pushed to the breaking point.
And that's
when I find my miter saw and the sprinklers.
not a happy time. I think we all have things that push our patience, and our kids push our buttons in different ways, and
yeah,
different kids and different situations. Tools, I'm like, tools, schmools, whatever. Sorry.
They're not your tools.
I know.
You don't use them. You don't need them.
So one of the things that bugs me is when, I think it's when my kids are losing their patience. So our youngest, when he's working on a project and he wants things to go perfectly and things aren't going well, and then he just breaks down crying so quickly, that's when I lose my patience, when I have a hard time being patient with him in his frustration with whatever he's working on. He was working on a little pinball machine with his grandpa this week, and he just kept getting frustrated because it was difficult to make, and the little cardboard pieces were not going into the slots the way he wanted them to, and so fits on the floor.
That one gets me too.
Yeah.
I don't actually have perfect patience.
Yeah, so what do we do when our patience is being pushed? That's just part of parenting.
It's part of parenting. Yeah. It's a big part of parenting.
Yeah. One of the things that helps me the most is to back to this paradigm shift that we've talked about before, and that's to see them as toddlers, even if they're not toddlers. So think about our toddler when they're learning how to walk and they're falling down or they're barely doing it. One of our little granddaughters, she's learning how to crawl right now.
So cute.
And oh my goodness, it's the cutest thing. As she tries to get up on her little knees, or she tries to do like a little plank, she's on her toes and her arms, and then she'll splat onto her belly. She's like, she can't hold it up anymore.
Oh, in the last week or so, she's been going backwards when she's pushing up. But just 2 days ago, yesterday, she did a fall forward.
I know.
She's making progress.
Right. So
and you can hear us talking about how excited we are for her.
Right.
It's like the coolest thing ever.
She fell on her belly. We're like, that's so cute. And part of it's because they're cute. But also part of it is that we know they're going to make it. We know she's going to learn how to crawl. We know our toddlers are going to learn how to crawl and walk and do these things. And so trying to have that same mindset when they're older children using our tools, try to see that they're going to learn how to put things away. They're going to learn how to do difficult things, not on the first try, without throwing a fit. And having that vision and to be able to see that they're going to learn it and have this positive attitude about what they're doing, and then it's a learning process.
Right.
That learning process involves the falling down.
It involves the falling down. It's to be expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we can see, when I can see my son leaving my miter saw out in the lawn to be sprinkled on from the sprinklers 3 days in a row, when I can see that as him being a toddler and it's his first time using a miter saw on a big project on his own, right? He's falling backwards. He's trying to crawl and he's falling backwards. He didn't make it that time. And if I can see him in that light, now I'm not mad at him. Now it's yeah, it's still my miter saw and it's potentially ruined because it's been in the sprinklers for 3 days, but that's not as important as my relationship with him. And just as important as that is the way I see him, in seeing him as a genius, seeing him as learning, seeing him as practicing, so that when he does make a mistake like that, it's not the end of the line. It's not the end of the story. It's not you're a loser for the rest of your life because you made this mistake. You're still learning. It's okay.
Right. And that doesn't mean that you don't, especially when they're older teenagers, you still say, ah, oh, man, the miter saw is ruined now, so we need to find a way to replace that. And
we've used it since. It still works.
It still works for you. But maybe it doesn't. No, maybe they make mistakes where they actually cause damage. And so that we just have the natural consequence, but it's not emotion driven. It's just, oh, okay, let's see how we can pay that back. What's a plan? It's going to cost about this much money. What can we do to help you with that? It's just part of it because that's life.
Just is what it is.
Yeah. So one of our favorite authors, speakers, people is Stephen Covey. And he wrote about in his Seven Habits book, he wrote about the space that it exists between the stimulus and response.
He talked about the fact that that is what distinguishes us from the animals. That's the biggest thing.
Yes.
Is that we have that space between the stimulus and the response.
And that's where our choice comes in. When something happens, our children are throwing a fit or they're yelling at us or they've lost or broken something. That's the stimulus. And then there is a space. Now, sometimes it's a small space, but we get to choose. That's where the choice comes in. And I kind of like that idea of that space because we can create space and do a little pause ourselves before we decide what our response will be. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge part of increasing our patience, is practicing that pause, that space. What's my response going to be? Here's my choice. Here's my chance to be the kind of parent that I want to be. And a lot of times, I've talked about this before, a lot of times you might want to even script this ahead of time. Well, this leads into our next thing, but you want to plan ahead.
Right. Yeah. So one of the tools that we teach in our parenting course that we do is called the Living Statement. And it's exactly that. It's a pre-planned response when our buttons are being pushed, when we're at that breaking point, when our patience is being tried, or a myriad of other situations that it applies in. So, I don't know, this is probably a year ago. We take turns, Amy and I, putting our younger kids to bed. So we just have a little nighttime routine and we go down and spend a few minutes with them as they go to bed. And about a year ago, it was my turn to go put the kids to bed. And Amy saw me as I was leaving to go downstairs. And she could tell that I was off.
Well, it's because our daughter was having a cranky day and not happy.
And it had gotten to me. I let it get to me. And I was still impatient with that, cranky about that myself. And Amy's so great. She saw it in me. And all she did is she asked, do you want me to go down? Are you okay?
No, just you want me to put the kids to bed tonight?
You want me to put the kids to bed?
Because sometimes it's like, yes, I do want you to put the kids to bed tonight because I am done with my patience.
Yeah. But as she said that, it sparked in me, oh, I have a pre-planned response for this. And in my mind, I said my loving statement. And in that instant, it changed my perspective on everything. Yeah. And I was then able to see my children as toddlers, and all that angst and emotion that I had about the situation earlier where I had lost my patience or become impatient was washed away. And I went down and was whole with them. I wasn't carrying that emotional baggage anymore. And it was a beautiful experience that night, putting them to bed. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. So share with us what your loving statement is with her. Do you have a specific one for each child?
My generic one for all of my children is they are doing the best they know how.
Awesome.
Which is what we do with the See Them as Toddlers. It's that whole mindset encapsulated into that one little statement.
Yeah. But that's personal for you. It has great meaning for me. And even like a strong emotional response because it represents this whole idea and a reminder to yourself of who they are.
It reminds me who they are as God's children, as divine, as beautiful, as amazing, as so great. Yeah. And so it brings my heart back to them. It brings me back to a good connection with them where my love for them is back at the surface, at the top, and not something that happened earlier in the day that was silly and insignificant in the long run.
Yeah. But also the thing that's so cool is that when we have those great parenting moments, when we're able to use that space to remind ourselves of how we really want to respond and who they really are so that we can respond in the ideal way, then the learning that takes place, the connection with our child that takes place is extraordinary. And the way that they are able to then learn from that is going to hopefully help them to make better choices the next time.
Right.
Because they have they're reminded of who they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they feel that from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So here are the steps to follow when your patience is wearing thin. If you're like me, then it's probably close to every day happening at some different point. And that's okay. It's part of parenting. It's part of why it's this awesome experience that we have to be able to grow our patience mm-hmm. when we have children. So the first is to see them as toddlers, see them as learning and see their greatness. And then take that space between the stimulus and the response and lengthen it out.
Slow down time.
Pause. do a slow-mo so that you don't just do your gut reaction, but you give a response that you want. And try creating a loving statement.
Yeah. So the best thing to do actually is to prepare, like we talked about already, prepare that loving statement beforehand.
Yes.
Like, not in the moment.
Yeah. Maybe right? Do it this weekend. Do it when you have some quiet time to yourself. I mean, 5 minutes, but not when the kids are around. Just when you're feeling super happy about your children, think of a loving statement.
Think of a loving statement that connects you to them, that helps you to see their greatness, their genius, and that reminds you of this philosophy of seeing them as toddlers. And then when you have that statement prepared previously, beforehand, that allows you to have that slow-mo moment to slow time down because you've already gone through that thought process thinking about who they are. And then as you recall that loving statement, that 5 minutes, that 15 minutes that you spent creating that loving statement all comes back in an instant.
Yeah.
And now that moment has been expanded out to that 5, 10, 15 minutes that you spent creating that loving statement. And those beautiful feelings that you had creating that loving statement all come back in that moment. And now you're reset and you're whole and your patience is back where it needs to be.
Yeah. And it can be that fast. Like
it'll
the
be that
snap
fast.
Of a finger when that is the right loving statement. And I would just start with one. Choose a child that is kind of tries your patience more than the others and spend a few minutes and think about a statement that you feel deep in your heart for them. One of the statements that I use for one of my children is, he is a son of God. I mean, it's just something that means something to you that feels really true, that resonates and that evokes feelings of love and patience and joy for that child and just have that. And then it's a loving statement. It's a mantra. It's mm-hmm. what you're going to, and then you're going to practice using it. So that's our challenge to you is create a loving statement and then practice using it sometime when your child tests your patience.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for being here with us today. We love being able to spend this time with you. We love who you are as parents. We love the sacrifice and the effort that you make every day to be a beautiful parent, to be a parenting hero.
And go to revolutionaryfamilies.com and get the free PDF, The Number One Parenting Secret. Awesome tool to help you to see the genius in your child, to be reminded of their greatness. And that would be a great tool to help you create this loving statement because there's a whole page on that. One of those pages of the PDF, it lists all these attributes mm-hmm. that would be positive attributes. And you could use that in creating your loving statement. So that'd be a great thing. Go grab it. Super simple.
Yep. And remember to always trust that God trusts you.